Technorama episode 675, adjust your tracking. Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you are joining us for the first time, thank you very much. If you are returning, welcome back. That's all I have to say about that. No, there's more. There's much more. There is, joining me, as always, is the one and only Craig Stepp, right over there. Say hey, Craig.
Hi, how you doing? We've gone through this before, which I can't remember. I was going to shake your hand, reach over. Look at that.
Every week it's like it's a Brady Bunch. Every week it's the same.
Yeah.
I remember is point left. Yeah, and he goes...
Is that right?
Also joining us, never mind, it's making it boring for the audio listeners at this point. Also joining us is the one and only Crazy Joe Fiore from Megapodtastic. Hey, Joe.
Hi, how's it going?
This was kind of a last minute thing. It was like Sunday afternoon. I went, we haven't talked to Joe in a while. You want to join?
Sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny. I was just listening. Like I said, I was listening to your show this morning. I was enjoying your high fives. I think you had some good ones in there.
Hey Craig, put the pre-show banner away. We're live.
Oh, I'm having a conversation. Sorry. There we go.
All right, we have.
Hey, by the way, yes. Wait a minute. Before we go on, maybe we should tell Joe everybody what Joe does, or at least on.
You mean in real life or in podcast world?
Well, it can be whatever he wants.
Well, I introduced him. I said from Megapodtastic.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I host the Megapodtastic podcast and. Is it a YouTube channel? I don't know. I kind of stopped doing YouTube videos, but I'm putting the podcast on YouTube now. So I don't know. I don't know what I do anymore.
Don't know what you do.
Find me where you find me. I'm like the missing sock. I'll turn up and you'll go, oh, there he is.
Right.
And keep wearing those pajamas.
I'm wearing them right now. I'm wearing Big Bird jammies.
Oh, we're supposed to wear clothes?
Better wear clothes, fool. You get arrested.
Yeah, we just had that conversation.
Yes, we did. Right. All right, we have a question of the week. Did we get any answers to this question, Craig, or are we just going to discuss it among ourselves?
Let's discuss it amongst ourselves.
All right, let's just play abbreviated...
Let's pretend we're ignoring everybody's feedback.
Abbreviated version of... Well, you know, it's been a crazy couple of weeks because conference, COVID sequestered Australia. We'll get into that in the Patreon show. But our question last time, which was, what, May 16th or something... Was
yeah,
what
2020 feels like.
What movie trope are you sick and tired of? Oh, this ought to be good with Joe. I'm glad I asked him. Come along.
You know, off the top of my head, the first trope that I'm sick of actually is a television trope, not a movie trope.
Okay.
Do tell.
But I'm sick of the season finale where everybody goes their separate ways and acts like they're never going to see each other again. Like
knowing good and well, they're going to come back together.
And they come back within the first 5 minutes of the season premiere.
Yeah, right.
Well, they didn't do that on Picard. It took several episodes to get some of the people back and a couple seasons to get many of the people back. So
CW shows are very guilty of that, though. They'll like The Flash or something. They'll be like, Cisco left town and Caitlin disappeared. And then they just all show up in the first 5 minutes of the premiere.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Supernatural. Oh, it's like, oh no, so-and-so died again. That's the end. They're sent to hell forever. Like, next episode, the first episode of the next season, crawl out of a hole. There he is.
Right.
Here's a movie trope. I don't like the trope where they have unnatural exposition and say things nobody would ever say to bring the audience up to speed. Like the late Gilbert Gottfried, God bless him, always brings up the scene in Beyond the Sea, the James Darren or Bobby Darren story. Mm-hmm. In the Beyond the Sea, the Bobby Darren story, there's a scene where Kevin Spacey says, I'm just not where I want to be in my career. And John Goodman, as his manager, goes, what do you mean you're not where you want to be? You've had five hit singles. You're doing that. You're competing in the charts with, and he basically goes through everything he's achieved and is like, just to right. bring the audience,
bring him up to speed.
You wouldn't be watching this show if you weren't a Bobby Darin fan anyway. So you already know all this,
right?
I've got one. And it just escaped me. Darn it. I'll think of it.
The podcasting trope I hate.
No, it was a TV thing. It was a TV thing about rats. I got busy listening to Joe, but now I can't remember it. That means I'm a better listener, because if I wasn't listening, I'd be thinking about what I wanted to say next.
Yeah.
All right. But if anybody else out there has anything.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I also was thinking of one too, but I got wrapped up into Joe because he's so easy to watch.
He's magnetic.
Know? Yeah. I'm trying to think what it was. Anyway,
that we'll reminds think of me, it. You do have a voicemail this week.
We do have a voicemail.
Because you started to play the tune and then got cut.
So. Oh, you're right. Let me see. Voice.google.com. And, can I play it through this computer? I don't know if this is going to work. Maybe we'll just read the transcript. They're funnier. Hello, beautiful. How rubbed today are you? I don't think that's the right one. I don't think
that sounds like a good one, though.
Well, Craig, where's our voicemail? Oh, I'm not on the Technorama page. That's the problem. I'm on listening to mine. I don't know when I got that. That was personal voicemail. You can ignore that part.
Podcasting. Yeah. Riveting podcast.
How rub are you? Let me see. Oh, here we go. Yes, we did get one on a couple of them on May 18th. No, no, voicemail. There we are. We'll read the transcript. Hi, this is Crazy Joe from the Mega Podcast. And I just was calling because I was wondering if you guys have anything derogatory to say about actor Josh Harnett. Have a good day. Bye.
I know how you feel about him.
Who was that?
Yeah,
who left that message?
Yeah.
It couldn't be you because they spelled crazy with a C.
Right.
Let me see. I'm doing a quick refresher on IMDb to remind myself what he was in.
He was in Lucky Number 7.
Lucky Number 7.
Slevin.
30 Days Slevin. Of Night. The Faculty, Black Hawk Down. That's what he's known for, but he's been in many, many other things.
Halloween H2O.
Die Hard. Two A's, two T's, spell it right.
Die Hard. That's like one of those knockoff movies you see at the grocery store. It's almost a Disney movie, you know.
Mozart and the Whale. This is good stuff, man. Oh, he was in Pearl Harbor as well. I don't have anything derogatory to say because I can't say I've watched many of his movies.
I wouldn't go say I seek him out. You know, it's. I don't really care too much.
So the reason I left that voicemail is because as you may or may not know.
Oh, you left it.
That was me. The reason Craig's I left that voicemail today. Was because we've been collecting clips of other podcasts talking trash about Josh Hartnett we started doing it on our show, but then Nutty did it on hers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then we heard, and with no prompting from me, and then on a podcast called The Dead Pit, which is a horror podcast, they started like trashing them, and I said, this is amazing. It's like we're trendsetters here. So I started collecting audio clips of other podcasts saying things about Josh Hartnett.
Oh, I remembered my TV trope. It's assuming the audience is idiots and having to repeat everything that you already covered in the show after every commercial break, National Geographic. Turning a 15-minute segment into a one-hour thing. So every time you come back from a break, you recap everything from the beginning of the show up to that point. So it's like at 45 minutes, like, come on, you've had about 5 minutes of net new content in the last 20. So that drives me nuts.
A&E Biography and like Behind the Music. They used to do that all the time.
Oh, I got another one. Reality shows that they go and do something. I mean, just reality shows in general are annoying, but when they go and do something and then they cut to the actor, like, near stage or something, and they're telling about what they're doing. Like, well, I was me and Frank were looking through the barn. And like, yeah, we just watched that. Well, I didn't think we could get that much money for this old oil lamp. Like, who cares? You know, just tromp through the guy's garage and get your crap. Yes, American Pickers was on in Australia, and I watched quite a bit of that, too. Used to be a good show.
It was Australian Pickers?
No, it was American Pickers. They had some American TV.
I've watched it before. Sometimes it's kind of fun.
I watched some British game shows. Warwick Davis had a game show called Tenable. That was kind of fascinating. I'm not sure who the Australian guy was that had a game show, but they were like reviewing video games. Not reviewing, but they were like playing legacy video games as part of this game show, which is kind of fun. A lot of the shows were just like darn confusing and no interest. Can't get myself up to speed on that. Anyway,
No interest, kind of like we have for Josh Hartnett.
There you go. I refuse to comment on the lack of information.
Oh, and this is a young show now. We got plenty of time to bash him.
This is a young show? You mean, this episode we just started.
This episode.
Like, I was going to say, we've been around for like 70 years in podcast years.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's call that a good start, Chuck.
I don't know how much longer you think you're going to be doing this show, but it might be alone.
I'm going to have to go get my pod water.
Oh, wait a minute. Get your D20s. We have three people here, so we have to figure out who's going in what order. Because
I don't have a D20.
Pull up a web page and roll an electronic D20 then. Just say, Google, roll a D20.
You can just ask Google to do it. All right.
Oh, boy.
Come on out. I got my brand new ones. Ready for Dragon Con. There you go.
Oh, yeah? Oh, his big steel heavy expensive ones? Or was that Scott that bought those?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did buy those.
No, I got some, but I got a 12.
Okay, I got to warm them up for Dragon Con.
Stupid dice. I need to return them. I'm just kidding.
I got a critical hit. I'm warmed up.
12.
Of course, it's probably like the driving range where I just spent all my good shots.
Yeah. Okay. I got a 6.
A 6? Craig?
I had 12.
12. So this could go Chuck, Craig, Joe. Chuck, Craig, Joe. Chuck, Craig, Joe. Let's do this. Looking forward to it.
All right. Brace yourself.
On this day in history for June 15th, 2022, this is the 166th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 199. Wow, that's cool. 6 and 6 and not turn them over. And 199. Neat. Anyway, 199 days left in the year. It was on this date in 763 BC that Assyrians recorded a solar eclipse that is later used to fix the chronology of Mesopotamian history.
And King Josh Hartnett of England, King John of England, put his seal on the Magna Carta on this date in 1215.
Correction, it's not the Magna Carta. It is just called Magna Carta.
Well, whatever.
When they rebooted,
a lot of people do that.
It'll be called the Magna Carta, like the Batman.
Yes, right.
But that's right. The reboot.
Hit it, Joe.
June 15th, 1502, Christopher Columbus landed on the island of Martinique on his fourth voyage.
Oh, you know what they always say about the fourth movie?
Yeah, right.
That's the one where you go to space.
Yeah, and save the whales.
Christopher Columbus in space.
Christopher Columbus saved the whales. 355 years ago today, the first human blood transfusion was administered by Dr. Jean-Baptiste Denis.
And it was 270 years ago today that Benjamin Franklin proved that lightning is electricity, and he promptly hit Josh Hartnett with it.
1.21 gigawatts? On June 15th, 1844, Charles Goodyear received a patent for vulcanization.
Yes.
A process to strengthen rubber.
Live long and prosper. That same date in 1919, John Alcott and Arthur Brown completed the first nonstop transatlantic flight when they reached Clifton County, Galway, Ireland. See, Charles Lindbergh was not the first person to make a transatlantic flight. He was the first solo. These two dudes did this in 1919.
Wow. And June 15th, 1921, Bessie Coleman earned her pilot's license. There's a lot of pilot stuff today. Becoming the first female pilot of African-American descent.
That's because after I get done chopping the wood, you can pile it.
Oh, boy.
Also on June 15th, 1936, the first flight of the Vickers Wellington bomber.
Doesn't that sound like the most ferocious thing you could hear blazing overhead? Mummy, mummy, it's a Vickers Wellington.
I heard it didn't go too well. It bombed.
Oh, yeah, now we're getting into it. It was on this date in 2012, just 10 years ago, that Nick Wallenda became the first person to successfully tightrope walk directly over Niagara Falls.
That's a hard pass for me. I'm not doing that.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to Italian model subject of the Mona Lisa. Here's a trivia question. What was the Mona Lisa's real name? What was the lady who sat for that picture? Her name was Lisa del Giocondo, born on this date in 1479. Take that, Alex Trebek. May you rest in peace.
Yeah. And born June 15th, 1942, English captain and explorer Richard Grenville.
Juan Jose Alhuar. Did I say that right?
Yes.
The Spanish
that was
chemist.
Bueno.
The Spanish chemist and mineralogist was born 268 years ago today.
Thomas Mitchell, Scottish-Australian colonel and explorer, was born on the same date in 1792.
And German oceanographer and academic, George Wüst.
I think it's Georg Wüst. Wüst.
I know. Wüst was born on this date in 1890.
Wüst. Yeah, Wüst. He got a sound effect named after him.
That's what the Enterprise sounds like when it went by.
Wüst.
Gordon Welchman, English-American mathematician and author, was born on the same date in 1906.
John Fenn, the American chemist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born 105 years ago today.
And last but not least, American lighting and production designer Mark Brickman was 69 today.
John Miller Jr. says Beef Wellington Bomber was made by Chef Gordon Ramsay.
That's right.
Listener birthdays this week include June 15th, Miss Eliza C. from the former podcast recorded in this room, Winging It 3D.
Yeah, that's right.
I miss Eliza. She was so much fun to hang out with.
Yes. Joe Edmison and Jason from The Angry Geek are on the 16th. June 17th is Digital Dan from The Hook Show. Luke Platypus and Zion Fox are on the 18th. Steven from Wichita, Kansas is on the 19th. Askie Adam from The Hook Show on the 21st, and three birthdays on the 22nd, Lance Heath, Jack Stevens, and Chris Martinez. All of them, happy birthday. If it's your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. And if you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com. Banner Craig, Banner Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Chuckchat.com/birthday. And we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. I keep thinking it's the end of the song, but it's not, so we're just going to wind them out. Bye, guys!
Yeah. Like a 30-minute version of the song.
It's like 6 minutes and 40 seconds, and I thought we were really dragging it there for a bit. Speaking of dragons, we got to get ready for Dragon Con.
80 days from today.
It's too soon, Roy. It's too soon.
Good news, everyone!
Well, this isn't really good news. It's kind of bad news. Bad news, nobody's. The James Webb Telescope that just went up in December and got in position, a month or so later, has been hit.
And then it took another month to like calibrate and get ready.
And they will be releasing photos from this said telescope in another month or so. They are really cranking up the production on this and making sure it's all ready. They're probably going to do a big, but anyway. There are, I don't know, a whole bunch of mirrors on this thing. It's a segmented mirror, much like the Keck telescope, if you're familiar with that. And one of them, mirror C3, took a ding from a little micrometeorite. Because it was moving at, ludicrous speed, it put a dimple in this thing. Now, they can adjust the others and this one to kind of correct for it. But unlike the Hubble, where the mirror is down this long tube and is somewhat protected, and it's been going for 30 years, the life expectancy out of the James Webb is 10 years. And it's going to take a little bit more abuse because that mirror is out in the open to ultraviolet rays and cosmic radiation and micrometeorites. So we're going to have to be careful with this thing.
There you go. John Miller Jr. says, does that telescope need a contact lens or something?
Not yet. No,
I hope was the hope. Meteorite at least washed its hands after it took the ding.
You're going to make James Webb a new metaphor. So, any other comments, gentlemen?
Well, yeah, as soon as I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, they just got it in place and got it working. And then,
it's just like a car. You know, you get your new car and someone at the grocery store, bam, like, yeah, I got a ding in the door.
Oh, so they should have hit it with a hammer before they launched it. Just go, oh, we got someone, the first scratch out
someone
of the way.
Needs, yeah, somebody needs to go out with one of those little car dent pullers. Boop.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Billy May for the car dent puller. For $19.95, we'll send you this and a ShamWow.
ShamWow.
Because when it has sham in the name, what could possibly be wrong?
What's that tape that a guy slaps on the tape to fix a leak?
Oh yeah, there's also the spray on sealant stuff. Because I want to float a canoe with a screen door in it. We are off track. Should we move on to the next story?
Yeah, let's do.
Can I blame Joe?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Can I ask Joe to cover the next story?
Sure.
NASA got some parts.
Let's see. We got, whoop. Hang on.
It's the one about the Europa mission.
Yes.
NASA
has completed the main body of Europa Clipper. NASA completes the main body of the Europa Clipper spacecraft. We'll search for life on Jupiter's icy moon, Europa.
Europa. Yeah, so they...
Should I read the whole article?
Nah, that'd be kind of long.
Just the headline. Okay.
Yeah. Just give us like the first paragraph.
Oh, all right. First paragraph. I'm sorry. My finger is moving all over the place here. Europa, Jupiter's icy moon, most certainly has a vast ocean beneath its icy shell.
Yes.
In fact, scientists believe this ocean contains more water than all of Earth's oceans combined. The complex chemistry required for life as we know it to exist requires liquid water, making this ocean one of the key reasons astrobiologists want to study Europa.
So what they're doing is they're sending out this probe, Clipper, which is expected to launch in 2024. That's not too far away, kids. But it will take several years to reach Jupiter. We know this because we sent out other probes to Jupiter. And you know, at that time, the planets were in a little different alignment. So it could take a while. Then it's going to fly around Europa like 45 times. Well, major milestone. They basically got the chassis or the frame in stock. Yeah. They ordered it on Amazon like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happened to be in stock. They had Amazon Prime, and it got shipped. And it's like two giant canisters. It's about 10 feet tall and 5 feet wide. And
it looks like a big hot water heater.
It does now, but
a water heater, not hot water heater.
Yes, because Craig's the kind of guy who puts toast in his toaster.
Well, my dad corrected me with a hot water heater thing. I was like, so every time I say it, I go, dang it, I gotta fix myself.
Don't say Sahara Desert either. That's redundant. It's like pin number. Anyway, we're way off track again. They bolted these two things together. They delivered them to NASA. This is just like the housing. They still have to put on the solar panels, which are like twice the length of a football field. They're ginormous when they're going to be unfolded. Yeah. All of the instrumentation to radio the information back. It's going to take, you know, you think, hey, they got 2 years. Like, yeah, 2 years and, you know, a couple miles worth of wiring to put on this thing. But it's pretty cool. It's like, we got a major milestone.
Yeah, we can heat up some water. They should go tankless. What, you know?
It's just this really long hose out to Europa. Why didn't you?
Yeah, that's just... put some water on there and burn a hole in the ice.
We like space stories. We like to keep up to date on things. Not that there won't be any delays, but 2024 is the target date. Stay tuned. We'll have more stories as they come up on this mission.
Yeah, there won't be any delays. It'll be all on time and under budget.
I haven't heard, you know, I listened to Astronomy Cast, but I haven't heard too many stories about Clipper. Maybe I just didn't remember the name that's what it
was. Probably because they're still kind of building it, you know, and that There's not a lot to really talk about yet, but I'm surprised they haven't.
But they're keeping up on they keep us up to date on missions that are planned for the future, because every time there's a new administration in the White House or Congress or something, plans change, priorities change, budgets change, and they go, oh, this has been delayed or this has been fast tracked or whatever it is. So I just don't remember this particular one. Just saying. Yeah. Could be me.
Well, this next story is a little more down to earth, and I think a lot of people will be really excited about it.
Yes.
And New York, and it's not the first place to do this, but they passed a right to repair bill. So this will is supposed to encourage manufacturers to deliver products which you can easily open up and repair. Unlike, say, an iPhone, you know, for a long time, the way iPhones were built, I mean, I think you can get into them a little easier now, but the way it was built, there was really no screws. They would kind of snap it together, and you had to have the right tools to
glue it together. So some of these things were sealed pretty shut tight.
Yeah. And not only that, but the really the only tool to open it, if you could get to the screws, were, I forget the name of what it was called, but iFixit sells them. But the only other place that you could get them was through Apple, if you're a repair center. So if the battery died, you can't just replace it with another battery. Anyway, so this is fantastic. I think this is overdue, because this planned obsolescence is that's a trope I don't like anymore.
It's still New York, and it's only for digital devices. This is nothing new. If you listen to Jonathan Strickland's Tech Stuff podcast, he's covered this a few times in the past, and this goes back to, like, John Deere tractors. Once upon a time, farmers could fix their own tractor. Now, if you want a John Deere, you have to bring it to a John Deere service center. There's no choice. It's more expensive. Yeah. And you know, I understand that it's gotten to be a much more complex machine. This is this is a piece of that puzzle, but it's nice to see that, you know, people are recognizing, hey, we got to make, like, a little more open standards, because that encourages competition. Because if iFixit is able to get the tools and the parts and et cetera, you know, they may still go, well, it voids the warranty. That's fine. But if Apple has to do this, or Android or Google or whoever, you know, they start making these electronic devices that are repairable by more than just their service centers, that encourages competition, and that's good for the consumer generally. Joe, any thoughts?
Yeah, there's this guy. Yeah, you got. Well, yeah.
I agree, absolutely. I wouldn't want to try to fix it.
But no, yeah, clearly some of this stuff is.
But
yeah,
but.
I hear
but
you.
No, well, I agree.
Here's like just the other day, I watched the video. There's a guy that he repairs these Apple products, and he has a shop. So people will bring in something, and he'll knock it out, and if he can do it within, you know, less than 30 minutes. I'm now 30 minutes. I forget how much time. If he can do it really quick, he doesn't really even charge people. He does it and makes a YouTube video about it. And this reporter came in with a laptop, and he opened it up, and everything was fine except for at the hinge, the little cable that provided light on the display had come loose. And Apple was going to charge him for a new motherboard. He was like, he spent 10 minutes looking. He went, oh, here you go. I think I can get it to put the little ribbon cable back in the spot, and fired it up. And he's like, there you go. He says, that much to owe you. No charge. You know, didn't cost me anything to sit here for a couple minutes and put it together.
So. I make millions on ads on YouTube. So this thing will pay for itself.
Well, maybe a little bit of that. So, but still, you know, get your product. But I think that a lot of the products should be able to, like, I'm looking at this tablet here. I wouldn't be able to open it up and do anything with it. Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. Let's give a shout out to the chat room then, because that's what's next on the agenda, right?
Ah!
And there's our shout. Every time we say chat room, everybody scream.
Ah!
I see John Miller Jr. and Gary Lindros Mike Robeson was here earlier. Maybe he still is. Yep, that's all I got for tonight. So if you want to join us and we'll be part of this craziness, you can join us on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or I'm doing the math, 2:30 p.m. Monday.
In Australia?
In Australia, yes. My mind is very keenly wired to where Australia is.
I know. I thought you were going to petition for citizenship there for a little while.
I almost needed a new passport to get home. That was quite the journey, unintentionally in some ways. Okay. We have a Remember When article. So that means we play this one. Yeah, that music. So, Craig, I'm going to leave this one to you.
Yeah. So everybody remembers Marble Madness, right?
No.
Joe?
Yeah.
You don't remember that game?
No.
Chuck, you don't remember that?
No.
I remember the NES version. And I remember it being in arcades, but I never played the arcade version.
Yeah, it was an arcade game, and it had some great little animations. You try to use the trackball and push the marble up a hill and through different valleys and stuff on the grid, trying to get it into the spot. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Apparently, there was a Marble Madness 2. Can you turn the music down a little bit, Chuck? It's a little overwhelming.
Is it coming too loud for you? I'll have to check my mix because it's low on the ascend. It's being recorded and broadcast low, so don't worry about it.
I was gonna power through it, but it's too much.
Oh,
anyway, so
wuss.
Apparently there was a prototype for Marble Madness 2, and it had a marble man. They actually put a character on there, which is, I think, a little unnecessary. But there was a leak. I'm trying to remember what it was. Anyway, there was a leak for the game. These guys were able to get their hands on it, and they developed Marble Madness 2, basically. So that, and using MAME. So you can play it through MAME, which this is one of those situations where this is probably something we would never have seen. But I don't know if either of you have messed with MAME before, but it's the arcade emulator, which you can not just emulate games, but arcade games, but all kinds of hardware that used to be on video games. Anyway, they were able to play Marble Madness 2, and you can actually download it too. It's pretty cool. Like I said, the graphics are a little different than the first one. But there it is. So
it was an interesting story behind this one, because they did some testing on Marble Madness 2. I don't remember the game. The copyright on this says 91. So I was well and done with playing in arcade games and hadn't.
You're never done with that, Chuck.
It didn't align with my timeline in history. But they did some initial studies, very limited, and they said, well, the trackball isn't working. So they tried a joystick. That wasn't working either. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't resonating with people. So it had a very limited release as a cabinet arcade game. And then somebody must have found a motherboard somewhere and grabbed the ROMs, and I wouldn't say anonymously, but the handle they used wasn't very helpful to determine who it was. You know, it was like DJohn7842. Like, who cares? They uploaded it to the Internet Archive, and it kind of got legs. Well, the other thing I found interesting that I didn't know about MAME is you can't just take a ROM, plug it in, and go. There's every arcade game was specifically written for that hardware. So
yes.
Every MAME emulator basically has to be tweaked with drivers for that game. But fortunately, they discovered that Atari reused a lot of their patterns in the way they generated colors or the way that they generated sound, whatever it was.
I was going to say it's probably similar hardware to the original one. So, all that was probably about the same.
Yeah, the guy said it took like 4 hours to put together the emulator. So there was a little bit of work involved. And now you can go out and play Marble Madness 2 if you want.
I think it didn't. They not say. I know they said they uploaded it to the Internet Archive. Internet Archive, you can go and actually play it in your browser. So you don't have to download anything. I think so. I'll have to look and see. But I know they have a lot of arcade games on the Internet Archive that you can go play just right in your browser. Not have to download anything.
I was watching a couple of the videos and I just went. I got thoroughly confused, especially when it was on two player. I didn't know what to watch. There's a red marble rolling over here and a blue marble rolling over there, and it seems like blue never wins, even though he gets to the finish line. Like, whatever. So clearly, it wasn't.
A little confusing, especially the two people. And then the two marbles can hit each other, and if you hit each other too much, one will break. Yeah,
you get to the finish line and Marble Man. Or actually, it's more like Marble Man.
So, Joe, were you an arcade rat back in the day?
Oh, I love old 80s arcade games. In fact, Craig, I think you and I may have messed through text message or something, talked about this a while ago.
Yeah.
But there is a place in, I want to say, North Carolina, that has, it's an Airbnb above an arcade.
Yep.
And I've been wanting to get to rent the place. I'm like, I was like, I wanted to go down there. I said, I wanted to like invite you because it gets, you know, you're not too far from there, and see if Gary will come up from Florida. You know, anyone within driving distance, just say, let's spend a weekend hanging out at this arcade.
Yeah. Cause you can rent it out for parties.
Right.
I'm trying to remember where did we talk? Maybe we talked about it here on the show, but yeah, you can go rent out this whole place. It's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is,
I was just looking at it. North
Yeah.
What's it called? It's a hot dog. It's a hot dog place. Right. And then
I can't
remember the name.
Yeah. There's a hot dog place and they have
super wieners or something. They're called something and wieners.
They do an annual thing where they open it up, but you can go in there and rent it out. Just like Joe was saying, I love the room where you go sleep in. It looks like a very 80s looking vector graphic bed sheets. And up on the wall, there's Rick Springfield and Purple Rain posters, Masters of the Universe.
All VHS tapes, like of all the 80s classics, but on VHS.
Yeah.
My friend Adam LeWu did a video there. He went and...
That's right. Yes, yeah. That's right.
$264 a night. And you can live in an episode of Stranger Things.
I want to do it, man. I really want to do it. Chuck, I know it's a bit of a distance. You want to fly out, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking.
I'll put that on retirement bucket list.
I know, Craig, you're not too far. And my friend, the Junk Man, is in Atlanta. He's probably not too far.
Maybe they're
Gary
booked.
Could come up.
They are booked, or their dates are blocked. The first date available is August 28th. I don't see any minimum nights required, which is interesting because usually Airbnb people have a couple of nights required.
I don't think there is a requirement.
Three dates end of August, four dates in September. It doesn't really open up until November or December.
I love this. Over the stereo is a poster of the Incredible Hulk.
you're gonna have to book this for at least next year.
Well, that's the thing. I'm busy this year for the remainder of this year. I wouldn't be able to do it till 03 or 23 anyway.
So. Yeah, we should kind of plan on that.
And my 23 calendar of PTO is already booked, and good chunk of 24 as well. So anyway, good story. Thanks for finding that and side discussion on the Airbnb site. And we get to thank the patrons at this point. Thank you to our patrons. This show is brought to you by you. People like Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Tim Cook, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis. Thank you, Gary Lindros.
Thank you, Gary Lindros.
John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Matt Baum, who was a patron, then he had to stop for a while, and then he came back, which is really cool because even if you were a previous patron, think about coming back.
We'll welcome you back with open arms.
Absolutely, prodigal son. Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Sweet Steve London. All of those people went over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And actually, Amy even upgraded in the last month or so. So we got that going for us. Thank you very much.
How about that?
Yep. She's now at the... Yes. She leveled up
to the platinum level now.
A level 2 patron. She can now have more hit points or something. I don't know.
More hit points.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And not only do they get their names enshrined in our show, but they also get a special super secret episode, which we unimaginatively call the Patreon show. No, it's our parody show.
Parody.
P-A-R-I-T-Y. We're not making a parody of our show because it is a parody. They get a special episode.
The parody of our show is a drama.
No, that's not how it works.
I know. I'm kidding. The
parody of our show is an infomercial. All right. One of my favorite segments of this episode is called Pass Me the Remote, which just happens to be like right now.
Wait.
What?
I'm reaching out for the remote.
Oh.
I was trying to remember left. Is that right?
No. Craig. He gave me the remote for my lights. Okay, thanks.
You're going to need to work on your monitor work there if you want to.
Yeah, Craig is just not clicking tonight. Ever.
That's right.
We've been trying that trick for like the last 12 years.
I'm not good at it either. That's why I'm not a puppeteer.
Well, Joe, all you got to do on this show is, you know, go like this.
Yeah. That's what he was doing earlier, looking up.
All right. Where were we? Pass the remote. Go. Give us a start, Craig.
All right. So I'm sure Joe's probably seen this, but we finished the current episodes that are out for Stranger Things.
Yeah, and it's not the full season I discovered tonight. There's 9 episodes, but they're holding the last 2 until July.
Mm-hmm. So by we, I meant my wife and I. So I know Joe has probably seen it. Anyway, so I am enjoying it. I thought it was really good. I was kind of engrossed in each episode. I think they do a good job at taking you from one episode to the next and giving some things out, some information as you go on. Although I'm like, okay, what are they going to do now? Because they held back on 2 episodes. Like, what are they going to tell us now? So,
and they're movie length episodes. The last 2 episodes are like 2 hours each.
Yeah.
Yeah. Several of them are over an hour as well. So buckle up, people. I'm having to take some of these in smaller doses. We just finished episode 3, I think it was. Hello, Billy. That was 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one it was.
Episode 4, man. That was the episode. Holy jeez. I think that was it. Hello, Billy. I think that was episode 4.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
To keep you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. I mean, if you like the previous seasons, I think you'll like this one too.
I think this one's taken it up a level. I don't know what it is, but I'm more engaged in this season than I was with, you know, the one at the mall.
This is one of the best seasons. And I got to tell you, the 80s guy in me, the 80s fanatic in me, was a little sad that they weren't at the mall this season. But you know what?
Right.
You know what? They brought in the video store. And I'm like,
yes,
I will accept the video store as a replacement for the mall.
It was a family video.
Yeah. You know what's funny is my friend his family owned a video store as a mom and pop's video store. And I worked there a little bit. It was called Family Video. So as soon as the first time they showed that in the series, I guess it was last season, I had to send a screenshot to Mike. I was like, dude, look, Family Video.
I'm having flashbacks.
I know. And what's funny, I think I've mentioned this before, but one of my favorite memories of that stupid video store was they had sent, I forget which Nightmare on Elm Street movie it was, but they sent a cardboard cutout of Freddy Krueger, you know, sitting there, you know, as a cardboard stand up. And when Mike would close at night, he would put it in front of the door, the glass door, you know, he put it in front of there. So he tried to get break in to see Freddy Krueger.
And speaking of Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund mm-hmm. is in this series.
Yeah.
In this season. Right. So that was kind of fun. What was the other one? I can't remember. Yeah, having a good time watching it though. It's definitely a pace yourself thing.
Mm-hmm.
This season started on my 10th birthday. The first episode, when they give the date, it was
the date. Birthday, and really?
Like, oh, we're starting off on my.
Oh my! In the world of- you're much younger than I thought.
That's funny. You know what else?
Not as young as Jacob.
No. Hey, what's funny is when I'm watching it and they're in the school, you know, in the schoolyard, you see the way everybody's dressed and got the big hair and stuff. And I'm thinking, this all looks kind of normal because I went through the 80s. This is, I mean,
you're about right on pace with that. I mean, the seniors were graduating. It was the class of 86 which is a few years behind me.
Yeah, I graduated in 87. But all that stuff. Anyway, we all lived through the 80s. Some of us were more aware of it than others. But I'm just saying that you look around and all the way they're dressed and everything, whoever was a, not just set designer, but the costume person on there, they nailed it. I think they really, really nailed it.
The hairstyles, everything. And I have one issue, though, with Eddie. Okay, the guy who was, you know, the game master, he was kind of an idiot. They implied that he's been a senior for like 3 years. he's playing D&D. He's in a band. They didn't really nail that persona quite right. You know, Dustin, yes, I can see him in that, you know, nerd table. They had the basic tropes of you got your jocks over here and you got your nerds over here, but Eddie didn't quite fit it for me. He was too like outspoken to be one of the nerds. It didn't feel like the right elements for his character were there.
Of all people should look past stereotypes when you're looking at people.
But that's what they were trying to do is build stereotypes. And you didn't really have, I mean, of the people who played D&D, you didn't really have somebody who would stand on a table and go, look at me, I'm in the lunch hall making a big scene of things. Yeah. Like, no, that wasn't who that guy would have been. He would have been, hanging out with Argyle in the pizza van, with Jonathan.
I think there's a bit of a crossover, though, in those kind of cliques. Like, I know the heavy metal guys and everything, they could be pretty nerdy too. So it's like two different cliques, but they kind of like their concentric circles.
It's like a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The guys at my high school that were, the heavy metal crew. I mean, he looked like he had the Night Ranger or REO Speedwagon haircut. Right. So that's kind of what you would expect. But those guys did not play D&D in my school.
Right.
What did Craig laughed pretty good. I thought I'd hit the band names.
Yeah. You know what I was also thinking of? We should all get the Hellfire Club shirts and wear them at Dragon Con.
I'm sure that won't be original.
No, but...
but we'll find other Hellfire Club people.
You know what's funny? As soon as I saw that on the screen, I went... I did a quick Google search. Yep, there it is already.
I did almost buy a Stranger Things shirt at Walmart today that said Tiger Pride on it.
Tiger Pride.
I'll get the Letterman jacket, the varsity jacket. This is Jason. And an Izod shirt.
Speaking of which, what a jerk. Oh my God.
Oh, that's exactly that's another trope. It's like, let's get the jocks who are so amped up on themselves. And so full of themselves, and they have a leader, and the other goons are laughing along with every bad joke he makes, and you want to punch him in the face.
It's like Johnny from
Karate Kid. Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. They must have just watched Karate Kid.
I can't stand the TV. Here's one. I can't stand the TV and movie trope where Star Trek and Star Wars fans hate each other. Because it's not true. Right? Most of the Star Trek fans I know like Star Wars. Most of the Star Wars sci-fi fans like sci-fi. That's what it comes down to. You might have your favorite, but if you're a sci-fi fan, you like sci-fi.
I quit trying to get drawn into the Marvel versus DC, Star Wars versus Star Trek. That's just crazy because I like it all. You know, there's something to like on everywhere. So,
right.
At least for me.
Yes. Should we go on to the next show?
No. Yes.
Okay. Episode or series on Netflix called Dirty Money. There's two seasons. I believe it's 6 and 5, total of 11. They cover a lot of shady things and scams. So like the king of Malaysia that pretty much bankrupt his country because he was greedy. Through a bunch of different shell corporations, or Formosa Plastics that polluted the environment in Texas and caused a bunch of medical issues. And now we'll clean it up. It's like, the company's been in Texas since the 80s. You kind of ruined things by this point. There was a payday loans guy who got real rich and had it all taken away and claims he didn't do anything wrong. And my favorite episode was the last one that I watched, all about Donald Trump and how he's not the businessman he makes himself out to be. He's just a big blowhard. I'm not saying that politically or anyway, but watch the show. He always said, you know, I'm a billionaire. He was, you know, he did that when he was still a multimillionaire, but not a billionaire. He said he owns so many properties in New York. He owned like five and the rest had his name on there. He was a very good marketing guy. That's right. It. But he exaggerated a lot. So it's an interesting show. I thought I would go in there and get really angry, but it was more eye-opening and go, man, you got to be careful who you trust. Even corporations, let's see, HSBC was in there. Mm-hmm. They were money laundering Mexican cartel money. Wells Fargo was in there about how they tried to inflate their numbers by saying how many new accounts they had. But it really put a whole bunch of pressure. Some of these you may have heard of before.
Also, that's a little more recent too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wells Fargo with it. Yeah.
There was some very recent stuff. I think the show was like 2015, 2016. So it was fairly recent stuff. Maybe it was 2016. Mm-hmm. No, it was because they mentioned Trump was in the White House. So I know that episode was like 2018. But I could be mixing it up with another show. I was on the road a lot and I was flying a lot. So I watched a lot. I've got 7 things on my list. I'm only talking about 2 tonight. We'll spread the rest out. The other one I watched on the flight home, which I hadn't seen in a long time. But the gentleman in the seat in front of me, you know how you can like look through the crack between the seats and see
what someone diagonally is watching?
He was watching the classic To Kill a Mockingbird with Gregory Peck.
Right.
Ethan Peck's grandfather, by the way.
That's right. Yep.
And I said, I haven't watched that probably since high school when it was an assignment, you know, to read the book and then they'd show you the movie. Did you guys have to do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I decided it's time to watch it again with grown-up eyes. Great movie. Still holds up well. It's it's obviously a bit dated, but the whole race message is crystal clear and still works today as well as it did.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, back when they made the movie. This is like from 1959, and it takes place in, 1932, 33? In Macon, Georgia. I think that's what they say.
That sounds familiar.
So really good movie, but it goes beyond the race thing because obviously they go to trial, the guy is found guilty, and then he mysteriously gets killed while trying to escape. And then they get into kind of the second or the third act of the movie where the kids are attacked and they encounter Boo Radley, the whole thing. So it's still a very, very good movie, To Kill a Mockingbird, if you can find it. I don't know where it is because I saw it on an airplane. It might be on Amazon Prime. It might be on Google.
Peacock. It's a Universal picture, so it might be on Peacock.
It might be on Peacock. Check around. It's worth watching. Every once in a while, I like diving in. And Netflix has a couple of old ones like what's the Jungle Queen boat with Humphrey Bogart or Casablanca. There's some good old classic movies out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think To Kill a Mockingbird is actually a Star Trek prequel because isn't it about Spock's grandfather defending Benjamin Sisko's dad in court?
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Wow. Mind blown. That wasn't Sisko's dad. That was Admiral Cartwright.
Oh, silly me. They look a lot alike.
Because Sisko's dad, both his arms worked.
By the way, I don't see where you can, it's not on Peacock, but, and it's not on, I mean, you can certainly rent it or buy it, you know, for $3-4.
Yeah. It's worth it.
It's definitely a movie worth owning.
Joe, what have you been watching? Wearing? What do you watch? What are you wearing?
Careful.
Now, have you been watching?
As we record this, it's Sunday night. So I haven't watched it yet, but when we're done recording, I just remembered that the season premiere of Evil is on tonight on Paramount Plus. And I love Evil. This show is so good. I can't wait to watch the new season. It's a dark show, man. If you're not into that kind of thing, it stars Michael Emerson from Lost and Mike Coulter from, what's the Marvel show?
Luke Cage.
Thank you. And it's about some Peter Scolari was on it last season. Sadly, he passed away. But it's about a group working for the Vatican, and they're investigating, you know, some demonic activity and supernatural things. And Michael Emerson from Lost is a psychologist who's like working for the devil. So it's what a hell of a show. I love it. So that I haven't seen season three yet. I'll watch it tonight. But the show that I just finished was season one of Severance on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, and that's one you were giving high fives to.
It's so good. It's one. It's a slow burn. The first couple episodes are a little bit kind of almost dull, but there's enough there to keep you going. You're like, this show's kind of weird. What's going on here? By the time you get to like episode three, man, that show sucks you in. It's a company that have either of you seen it?
No, I have not.
It's a company that when you work for this company, your personality gets split and you've got the you that exists outside the office and the you that exists inside the office. And neither one has the memories of the other.
Oh, I heard about that.
So when you go to work, you get on the elevator. When you get off the elevator, your outside life is like now wiped from your mind. And they do their day of work. They get on the elevator and then the outside self doesn't know what went on in the office.
Actually, that sounds convenient, to be honest with you.
unless you work at home, then you're just screwed. Yeah.
Except the thing is, these people don't know that they're basically being tortured at work.
Wow.
They have no idea. And it's a really crazy
Wait a
show.
Minute, when you remember when you go back to work, isn't there like the work memory?
Well, yes, but they can't quit. Their outside self has to be the one to quit. And the outside self doesn't know what's happening to them in the office. You have to petition your outside self to resign. And
you write it on the palm of your hand. Remember to quit.
They have code detectors. They have code detectors that that can sense any written word anywhere on your body.
And then write it on your underwear.
You like memento, put tattoos and stuff all over you. Yeah.
I'm telling you, they try this on the show, but it's an all-star cast. Patricia Arquette's on it. Adam Scott from Parks and Rec, Christopher Walken, John Turturro, and Ben Stiller directs every episode, but it's not a comedy.
Wow.
Okay.
Really, really good.
Yeah. I just saw some of his other work. Ben Stiller, Tropical Thunder. Watch it again. Stupid movie. All right, what else are you watching, Joe?
Oh, geez, what else? Well, I've been so hooked on The Boys. I've been watching The Boys.
Oh, I need to get and go pick that up.
Is there another season? Did I miss an announcement?
It just
season
started.
Three just premiered last week.
That's okay. That makes sense.
And The Offer, The Offer on Paramount Plus about the making of The Godfather. Oh my gosh, that's a good show.
Is it really?
That looks good.
Yeah, it's really good. Dan Fogler, he was in the movie Fanboys, and he's on The Goldbergs. And right now he's playing the Muggle Jacob in the Fantastic Beasts movies. He plays Francis Ford Coppola in it. That guy is one of the most underrated actors around because, personally, I think he steals the show in all the Fantastic Beasts movies. I think he's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's terrific as Coppola. That guy needs more respect, I think. I think people look at him and they're like, oh, it's the guy from Fanboys. But he's a really solid actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know the guy you're talking about. He owned the van in Fanboys.
Yeah.
I know him from Fantastic Beasts, but yeah, I know who you're talking about. Good stuff. Thanks, Joe. Craig, I'm going to just leave the links in the Geek Library for our viewers/listeners, since we are running a little long tonight. No problems there. We're going to leave you with a question of the week, though, before you go. It's 2022. What should not exist now? Stay away from flying cars.
Yeah.
What should not exist?
What shouldn't exist now?
Yeah.
Actually, I forgot the should nut part.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Any quick thoughts?
What should not exist
What
now?
Should not exist?
How heavy do we want to get?
Oh, you mean like racism?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, you can go there. That yeah, should not exist. I'll be happy with that. That's a good one. That's probably the top one. I was going to go after things like fax machines.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting there going, people still have flip phones?
Business cards? Clearly, it's time to move on.
Yeah, business cards. Well, now we got LinkedIn. What shouldn't exist now?
You wrote the question. I thought you'd have some thoughts about this.
This podcast, probably, but we're gonna usurp that.
Cancer. How about that? Cancer shouldn't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
Greenhouse gas emissions. We should have figured that out a while ago. Okay, we want to know what your thoughts are, dear listener. You can go over to the Technorama page on Facebook, Technorama Podcast, or send us a message in many of the different ways.
John Miller Jr. said, Justin Bieber songs, also racism.
he's got great sense of humor and timing on that.
Oh, you have no idea.
Did you ever read that? There's an Onion article. I had to look for it because there was an Onion article where the headline was report stating the current year is still the leading argument for social reform.
Oh, I got another one. Daylight saving time. First of all, most people don't name it right. They say daylight savings time, which is wrong. And second, we don't need to jack with our clocks twice a year anymore. That should not exist. It should not be a thing.
Well, I agree with you. But
I agree, but only on the condition that we can keep the summertime hours as the default hours.
Tell your Congress people, like your state can do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah. I want alternate day hours. So just swap.
What, you want like a 23-hour day, then a 25-hour day, then a 23-hour day? It's like, let's change our clock every other night? What are you talking about?
And let's cancel Thursday due to lack of interest.
That's right.
Everyone just wants to get to Friday anyway.
If we go to the decimal system, we can have 10 days.
Yeah. I never could get the hang of Thursdays.
Thursdays when we record the topic is track. When would we? You can't get rid of that.
No,
you record it on Fridays now.
That's right. Surprise. The week's been truncated.
I was going to extend it and make a 10-day week. Five on, five off.
Can it be? Okay. I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. That'll work. Yeah. My first thought
first of all, they're all arguing with me until I okay, that sounds good.
I was thinking, wow, I got like three more work days and then the weekend.
I want to flip August in October. Like I want October to be the 8th month and August to be the 10th.
You just
want to
get a Halloween sooner?
No, because Octo would be 8.
You know why that is, don't you?
Halloween.
You know why that is. October is the 8th and December is the 10th because the calendar used to start like in March.
Right. Right. But I say change it. Change it now.
Yeah.
It's OCD's kicking
in. That's wrong.
Halloween's August 31st now, which is still October 31st, but we changed the name.
Just move New Year's. That's all you got to do.
Well, we do that. I don't care.
And you go to Chinese New Year or whatever it is. You know, make up Joe's
I'm
New
flexible.
Year. Joe's New Year.
Chinese New Year. That's what Joe's New Year. We'll have the Joe Gorgian calendar.
the crazy calendar. All right. With that, let's play the music and get on out of here.
There's a free month. You can just plug it in anywhere you want. Just yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us. Banner time, Craig. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Joe, we forgot. Tell them where they can find you.
Oh, you know, just turn around. I'm probably hiding behind you right now. No, it's megapodtastic.com. Go to YouTube, type in Megapodtastic. Go to wherever you get your podcast, type in Megapodtastic. You'll find me. I'm hard to get rid of.
Yes. See, he's here tonight. So,
penicillin. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. And don't forget, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Hope to see you around soon. Till next time, give him a binary high five, Craig.
All right, 101, everybody. Whoop, whoop.